Today we move back into our series of what thanks can do for you. And as we get ready to move into the series, I want to just say that I get it. You know, when we're out and about, we're talking to people who may be out in the world around us, maybe not here, maybe it is here, maybe, but it's in different places. You run into people who struggle with belief. They have a hard time reading the Bible. Bible oftentimes, as that opens to them, it feels foreign or alien. Maybe they weren't raised with it. And as they begin to approach the Bible, it feels like it's full of impossibilities. Impossibilities. You know, opening up in the Old Testament, talking about enslaved people walking out from their masters, walking out, departing across a parted Red Sea, seems like an impossibility. We read stories in the New Testament of people who were raised from the dead, including the main point of the New Testament, Jesus being raised from the dead. And because we don't see folk raised from the dead, that becomes hard for us, especially if we haven't made that step of faith, that it seems like an impossibility. Or even just in some of the small stuff that is written throughout the Bible, things that are just hard for us to imagine, unless there is that element of faith that says, maybe God can do something that I can't see how it can be done. It is a difficult thing for people to grasp. Verses like the one we're going to look at today. Do not be anxious about anything. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? And yet we're invited to believe that somehow this God of the universe can somehow work through what we think is impossible to do something that we can't quite see how it can be done. Again, whether it be looking at miracles in the Bible or simply these statements that are impossible for us to even imagine how it could be, this is where we wrap up today. We are nearing the end of this 21 days of gratitude challenge. I know many of you are doing that. I know there is, as we become more aware of God's goodness and we develop a heart of thanks, these are good things. We think simply in the terms of them being good, but what's the end result? Which has been kind of what we've been wrestling with in this series. What is it that happens as our heart begins to turn from it always being about what we want or what we don't have to seeing what we do have and being transformed by this gratitude that begins to well up? We've talked about in weeks past about how that begins to refine us or restore to us a sense of joy in the midst of life. We've talked about how it begins to enable us to transform our busyness into a sense of being in right relationship with God, restoring to us a sense of purpose in what we do. And today we're going to talk about how it begins to break the cycle of worry. So we're going to wrap up today, but as we wrap up today, I've got a real short little video that's going to help us with that idea of what does it mean for us to be a thankful people and what it might be it means for us to recognize even the small gifts in our life as blessings from God. Okay, that's our bridge, moving from Thanksgiving into Christmas, to say there's something of a connection here, and it certainly should be. And again, part of the challenge for us as we move towards Christmas is often it's about what we want or what we hoped at least maybe to be able to give, but there's a sense of thankfulness that needs to be a part of it. I love that guy, that coffee. Oh, it's great. How many of you put on shoes this morning and said, shoes? Thankful for the privilege of having plenty to eat. But there are people in the world who don't have food or running water or electricity. There are people in the world who don't have shoes or cars or jobs to go to. There are people all around us. And when we talk about the fires and what happens to people, it's realizing that these things that we take for granted, that begins to open up for us a chance for us to say, I'm thankful even in these small things. Because how easy it is for us to begin to look not so much at what we have, but to look at what we don't. And when we always keep our focus on what is not, then our focus is in the wrong place, and it's going to always lead us to having this downcast view of life. I want to start off today a couple of sayings, and I think they begin to be jumping off places for us from a couple of really bright people in our past. One first one is from Charles Dickens, of course, the author of Christmas Carol and many others, and he says, "Reflect upon your present blessings, of which every man has many, not on your past misfortunes, of which all men have some." Now, I know that's not politically correct. He should say humanity, but the fact is, what he is saying is that all of us have blessings, whether we recognize them or not, but they're easy for us not to focus upon. That's the whole idea of what we've been talking about these last weeks, about just simply being more aware of what's going on around us, more aware of what God has done, what God is doing, who God is, and what his love is about for us, so that in each and every day we can begin to give thanks to God. Now, there's another saying I'd like to focus on a little bit here today also. This comes from Corrie Ten Boom, who said, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it empties today of its strength." Now, you might be asking yourself, what in the world does worry have to do with being thankful? And that's what I think all of us wrestle with, and especially as we look at this verse today, this impossible verse about being anxious about nothing, that this becomes now the question mark. Where is it? What is it? How is it that being thankful affects any of this? And that's what we're going to begin to open up and see today. The challenge with worry is going to be this, that always anxious thoughts, anxiety-filled thoughts are a way of consuming us and robbing us of the gift of life in our present moment. Have you ever thought about worry? Anyone here worry? No. Okay, good. Just about as many as read. That's great. Okay. Maybe that's it. Maybe the more we read, the more we worry. You know, I know it's true. The more I read on the internet, for example, the more I worry. That there is stuff out there that causes me to be a little more unsettled. But worry at its core is about something in the future, whether it's likely to happen or not likely to happen. It's about something in the future. And as Corrie Ten Boom said, that it doesn't take anything away from the sorrow of tomorrow, but it does steal the strength of today. It's in the present that God does his work. It's where he intends us to be, in the present. And yet worry takes us out of the present and begins to fill our minds with all of those what-ifs that might happen some other day. And as we get pulled into that future of wondering of what if, it begins to steal from us a sense of joy, because there's always going to be a scenario that could go wrong. There's always going to be a scenario that could be something we wouldn't want. And so we're going to look today at this passage out of Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, and look for this connection. What is it that Thanksgiving begins to unlock in us, that begins to help us address, to remain present in the present and not pulled into the future, where the unforeseen and the unexpected can cause us all kinds of insecurity? We're going to begin with the verse, if you're reading along with, it begins in Philippians 4, begin at verse 6, says, "Do not be anxious about anything." There's our impossibility, isn't it? Because all of us know anxious thoughts. All of us know the sense of being overwhelmed at times by worry and anxiety. But the key for us here is that it's not a command. I'm glad it's not. Can you imagine if one of the Ten Commandments was this? Thou shalt not worry. I mean, it's one thing to say, thou shalt not murder. I haven't done that. I was going to say recently, but the fact is ever. Okay. I still got that one. I'm still perfect on that one. But what if the command was, thou shalt not worry? Dang, like I do that every day. And I'm not prone to anxiety. I'm not... I don't have an anxiety disorder, and some people I know are struggle much worse than I do, but I know that I worry about things all the time. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, the interesting part, this is not a command that God says, just stop it, but it is an invitation to allow what we feel as worry and anxiety be transformed. Notice as it goes on, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, I'm going to finish that verse, but just hold there, that front half right now for us, because this is the key. It doesn't say that having an anxious thought is wrong or sinful. It doesn't say that being worried about something is a bad impulse. That sense of life around us, sometimes that dread of life, sometimes that knowing what's coming or not sure what's coming can cause us to be insecure. That's normal. But what do we do with it? Do we allow ourselves to simply work it over and mull it over and let it work us over and mull us over? Do we let it continue to consume us in such a way that we get wrapped up and choked off because of what that fear of what could possibly might be sometime down the road? Or do we accept this invitation to allow it to be transformed? Notice it says when you have that worry impulse, it's not just white knuckle it away, but it is change it. Change it. Take that worry impulse and in every situation where you feel that sense of worry and turn it into something else by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Now there's our key word, that idea of thanksgiving. But what he's simply saying is that when we feel that sense of, and we all have it, if we take it instead of letting it have us, if we take it and turn it over in the sense of prayer, and do so with a thankful heart, thanking God for being there to handle the situation, thanking God for taking it off my shoulders, thanking God for being at work in me, thanking God simply for loving me enough to listen to me, thanking God that he is there in a way that he will walk with whatever it is through me. You know, some of our favorite verses in Scripture seem to be impossibilities for us as well. We all want to have this sense of escape. Even the song we sang earlier, can we avoid this tribulation? You know, sometimes I think God wants to walk us through the challenges we feel. The 23rd Psalm, one of my favorite verses in all the Scripture, talks about how it is that we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil because He is with us. And sometimes that may be the only thing that we can find in the midst of that dark place that we can find reason to be thankful for. But when we're in that dark place, we can take that worry and turn it into a prayer and be thankful that we are not fearful because He is with us, even though we walk through that difficulty. It begins to transform not only our situation, but also it transforms us. And notice what happens. He says, and right there in the middle. When we do this, when we take that anxious thought, when we take that worry that has such a way of choking the life out of us, when we take that and we turn it into prayer and we offer it with thankfulness, not thankfulness maybe for it, maybe not thankfulness for where we're at, but simply thankful that we are with God in the midst of this and He's going to walk us through it, then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, what Paul is describing here is the path to peace. We live in a world that is chaotic and filled with anxiety. The world around us thrives on this and sometimes is crushed by this, and the very peace of God that we are invited to experience will be the greatest testimony, I think, for those around us. How is it that we can face challenges within our body when we're looking at challenges of what this procedure is going to be or how we're going to work through this? How is it that we can face challenges within our families when there's breakdown within our family, when there's uncertainty about what's coming next? How can we walk through grief, even the loss of loved ones? And how is that different than the breakdown for the world when they do not have the faith, when there is no sense of peace that transcends our understanding, that would guard our hearts and minds? It is here that, as we say, there is something that if we can work a little bit of thanks into the midst of our prayer, that this worry gets transformed into something powerful. It's called the peace of God, which guards our heart. This, like the other impossibilities, is a little bit miraculous. But like the other impossibilities, this too is a little bit of a divine partnership where God does his part as we do ours. As we begin to take that worry, take that anxious thought, and begin to submit it to Christ, to say, I'm going to take this and turn it into a prayer. So instead of being filled with worry all day, I will offer it to him and ask for his help, ask for his presence in the midst of it, and do so with thanksgiving, then the peace of God begins to move in a way that opens up my heart. There is something about, and I saw this phrase, I want to just touch on it, because always for us when worry comes, the fear is there's not going to be enough. It's that what if, that there's simply not enough. Not enough time, not enough money, not enough resources. I don't have what it takes. Whatever that worry is, there is a sense of being lacking. Melody Beatty said this, that gratitude... And here's that again, that secret sauce in the verse, that gratitude turns what we have into enough. And so this becomes the antidote for worry. Worry that says, what if there's not enough? Gratitude says what we have is enough. What we have is enough because of is what God has given to us. And it is through that gratitude, that sense of goodness and rightness, that we begin to experience that thing that Paul calls the peace of God, which guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So that's what gratitude does. It begins to change the way we see the world, begins to change the heart with which we have. Because again, that Philippians passage talked about this, how we are to rejoice in the Lord. Again, I will say rejoice, and then he moves into this sense of God's presence being near us, and then do not be anxious about anything. But the reminder for us here is this, that it's not joy that makes us grateful, but what the scriptures remind us is that it is that heart of being grateful, is that gratitude that begins to allow that peace as well as that joy to begin to well up in us. We have this sense in life as we go through life, if I had more good things in my life, if I experienced more joy, then I would be more thankful. But that's actually opposite of how scriptures remind us this is what it is. As we begin to develop a heart of thanks, we begin to see things like God's peace, begin to guard our hearts and minds, begin to see things like his joy, begin to well up within us. And as we begin to do these things, then we all of a sudden experience the fullness of life that Christ invited us to. I have come that you might have life and have it in abundance. Jesus didn't mean that to say he's going to give us all kinds of stuff. Jesus meant that to say that we would be able to live a full life as we come to this place of understanding that it's not in the things we have or the things that we want, but it is that grateful heart that begins to release this joy to us. We're going to wrap up with a song in just a few moments, and that song is For the Beauty of the Earth, and I love that song. I'm glad that we're singing it today because it walks through a number of things. Sometimes we say, well, what can I be thankful for? Things aren't going my way, and I love the way the song kind of opens it up. It talks about the beauty of creation all around us. It talks us about the love that surrounds each and every one of us. It talks us about the wonder of each hour, these little glimpses of God in the midst of our life. It talks about the church and the way the church is a demonstration of God's love by serving and sharing that love wherever it goes. And it talks about God himself and the gift of his grace and his love for all of us. And we begin to say, as I hear that pattern in that song, I notice it doesn't have anything to do with my new job. It doesn't have anything to do with how much money I make. It doesn't have anything to do with how nice my house is. It doesn't have anything to do even with how much I receive. It has all to do with a sense of simply being thankful for the many gifts that we have had. Again, wrapping up today, the idea of this, that we are invited to rejoice. We are invited to pray continually. We are invited to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. It's the way God designed you. Sometimes we hear that word will for you and think it is, again, goes back to the idea of commandment, but it's not a commandment. What it is an invitation to operate in the way that God has made us. And when we live in this place of giving thanks in the midst of all of our circumstances, God's saying that is how we are to begin to live. That is going to be key for us to understand this abundance in life that Christ invites us to. So as we get ready to move into this Christmas season, as we begin to move out of this thankful season. Let's continue to keep our hearts in a thankful place as we move forward and allow it to begin to unlock for us the life that God has for us. So God, I want to give you thanks this morning. What a blessing it is to gather with my friends and family here. What a blessing it has been throughout this weekend. In the midst of challenges, in the midst of the ups and downs of life, we ask you would help us to be a thankful people. So Lord, help us to begin to unlock and to break the bondage of worry in each of our lives, to begin to shut the mouth of that one who says, "What if?" constantly stealing not only the joy of our present, but our hope for the future. Help us to find that gratitude growing in us that it says what we have has been transformed into enough. And what causes worry for us can be transformed into our trust and our prayer to you. And through that, we become all the more thankful. So meet us here, God, as we begin to close this time of our being together, but then open up this week that we might walk in heightened awareness of your goodness to us in a continual sense of being grateful for your presence with us. We thank you for it, God, and we ask that you would guide us as we prepare to go. In Jesus' name, amen.